Hi, this is David Boyer, and I work with the KALW News Department, and I just wanted to let you know that we're in our spring membership drive. We are a listener-supported radio station, and you can help us out by going to KALW.org and click Donate.
KALW.
From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents, context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
I live in Patterson, California.
I live in Richmond.
I live in Daly City, top of the hill, Daly City.
Noe Valley.
I live in San Pablo, California.
Coming up, what's it like to be stuck in a prison cell for nearly a year?
We ate these peanut butter sandwiches. It was always considered a steak, you know, with A1 steak sauce being the jelly. You know, our imaginations run wild because you're confined to this cell and you're coping.
A firsthand perspective on lockdown. Then, what happens when a wild turkey lands on a prison yard?
It kicked my ass not once, but twice. I'm not going to go down a third time because I've got a reputation to protect.
We're putting the focus on the prison system today and speaking with a returned citizen who used to report for San Quentin Radio. It's all coming up on a special live edition of Cross Currents. From our training program at Solano State Prison, Uncuffed, producer Joe Kirk has a story about a dramatic conflict on the yard.
This is Uncuffed.
Stories from Solano State Prison. George Washington versus the British. David versus Goliath. Ali versus Frazier. These are just a few of the great battles throughout history. Today we at Uncuffed are presenting you with a story about a man versus a turkey. I sat down with Brian Mazza and Joseph Kaufman and let them tell me all about it.
You know, Joe, I wanted to ask you, man. Remember that time? I think it was about Thanksgiving last year.
Somewhere around.
Saw that turkey on the yard.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, is that turkey inside the fence line? Because I couldn't even fathom. How's the turkey going to get inside the fence?
You know, they can fly a little bit.
I had no idea could fly.
Yeah, I didn't expect one to be there on the yard, though. You said, let's get it! And you took off running. And I was just started laughing. And then I followed you. But I walked and you ran. And when you got to the fence, the turkey was scared out of his wits. And it didn't know what to do. So it took off running into Building 23.
I lived in that building, too. And I ran inside the building and said, stop that turkey! I'm gonna have him for lunch! And everybody in the building was just looking at me. And I ran up the stairs, and the turkey landed on the railing in front of the showers. There's like five people in the showers, and the turkey's looking in the shower. He's looking at me, he's looking in the shower, he's looking at me. And people were in the showers going, no, don't do it! I grabbed the turkey, and feathers just came out of it, because I didn't want to hurt it. But feathers just came out of its wings.
There were feathers
out of its tail.
Everywhere. Yeah.
There are feathers everywhere.
What I saw was the turkey looking into the shower, and the turkey looks at Brian, and then it takes off down the tier. So now the turkey is running for its life down the tier, and here comes Brian running after it, and the turkey scrambles up against the wall, and at the corner of the corner of the tier, and that was, I just started laughing at that point. I was laughing so much, everyone was laughing.
I almost fell down. The turkey ran into the wall because they're fast too. I didn't know they were that fast.
It was pretty quick.
It could fly. It was fast. I was learning. I was learning as I went along there. The turkey ran, but its claws cannot get any kind of traction on the linoleum, and it slipped right into the wall of 20 dorm, right into the cinder block wall. And then the turkey runs down the tier into 24 dorm, and down there, there was that guy. Remember his name? What was his name? He was the big skinhead with Hitler tattooed on him and everything else. I forget. He was the toughest guy in the whole yard, right? And the turkey ran into his bed area while dude with Franco, that's his name, Franco. And the turkey ran into his bed area and woke him up. And he stood up like one of those things. You ever see the cartoons where somebody stands up and runs in place and then takes off and there's like little air pockets behind him? Well, that's what he did, right? And he took off out of the dorm. I ran into the dorm, and I'll tell you something. The turkey was hiding under the bed, and it was between the locker and the wall. And I look, I bend down, I get on my hands and knees, and I'm looking, and the turkey's peeking at me from around the corner, seeing me. And I go, all right, I don't want to hurt him. That's one thing I don't want to do. I'm thinking animal lover, a conservationist. That was probably my main reason why I started chasing the turkey to begin with, was because I didn't want it to get hurt. So here I am, I'm going to stick to that theme. So I reach underneath the bed, and I'm reaching my arm, and I finally grabbed a hold of its wing and dragged it out, and then I discovered something new. They can fly, they're fast, and they're mean as hell.
How about strong? Are they strong?
It was a 12-pound bird. It's unbelievable how strong birds are. So I grab it, right? I'm still trying not to grab its neck or, you know, these things, right? And the birds, ca-ca, started flapping its wings, and it just kicked the out of me. I dropped it on the ground and fell back, and it ran into bed again. I'm thinking to myself, Jesus, that's a strong bird. I was like, wow, everybody's laughing.
Lucky it didn't slice you open.
It didn't slice me open. Lucky for me, because I didn't know that part either. They're very aggressive, mean birds, but for some reason, this one gave me a break. So I dive underneath the bed again, and I grab him by his leg this time, and it just, I had it by the leg, and it was trying to flap, and this is people's bed area. It's clean, it's orderly, it's supposed to be quiet. There's feathers everywhere in that dorm, fluttering, flying around. Indians were going, hey, these are nice feathers. Everybody, Mexicans, everyone's coming to get the feathers. And I go, I grabbed the bird, and finally I grabbed it by its neck, because you know what? It kicked my ass not once, but twice. I'm not gonna have it go down a third time, because I've got a reputation to protect, right? So, I grabbed the turkey by the neck, and I grabbed him by his leg, and there I was, stretching him out so he couldn't kick or flap on me, and I carried him out of the building, and I'm thinking, what am I going to do with this turkey now, right?
The whole building was like caught in suspense, because we were all just wondering what's going to happen, and it was taking a long time. I was like, everyone was really curious, and then finally you came down the stairs holding this turkey like a trophy, but away from you, like it was like... like a dangerous trophy.
It was dangerous.
That part was hilarious too. But the whole building was just quiet. If I remember right, when you were bringing the turkey down.
I remember that cop Webster. He goes, "Good job, Maza." And I go, "All right." And I was all proud of myself. I had my bruises and a couple scrapes. You know what I mean? It was a hard fought battle, and I finally got the bird outside. And then I don't know what I'm gonna do. What am I gonna do? Because, believe it or not, all the feathers I tore out of the tail and I tore out of the wings. The bird wasn't going to be able to fly out, so I'm thinking, what am I going to do? Throw the thing back over the fence, or what am I going to do? So I walked towards where the cops were at in front of the center complex, and I go, I don't know what we're going to do with this bird, right? And they go, well, we'll just carry it outside, but we'll go get Lamb, Officer Lamb. So I sit down at the picnic table, and I'm thinking, man, maybe the bird will stay still. So I set him down on top of the picnic table.
Feather explosion.
That's when I started getting my ass kicked for the third time, because it was flapping and it was making these noises. And I had to grab it because I didn't want it to get away again. So that was three ass whippings I took from the turkey. And I finally said, here, I gave the turkey over to Lamb, and he took the bird out, took it out and put it out in the parking lot in front of the prison and let it go.
Yeah, you paroled it. Paroled the turkey.
The turkey got an early parole.
I think that they release feathers when they're scared as a defense mechanism, because the third time,
right,
there were feathers flying everywhere again. People were running around picking them up. Yay, feathers.
That's cool. You know, I learned on the fly. I'm not an ornithologist by a far sight. At the end of the day, I was glad that I caught it, but I still have people coming up and talking to me, hey, turkey man, and I don't mind that at all. If everybody's going to have a laugh, then I'm happy about it.
All right, turkey man.
That was Brian Maza talking with Joseph Kaufman. The piece was produced by Joe Kirk, who's a student in KALW's radio program at Solano State Prison, which is supported by the California Arts Council and the Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation. The producers fact-check content to the best of their ability. All content is approved by an information officer. Listen to more stories from Uncuffed at our website, kalw.org/uncuffed. You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Ben Trefney.
San Quentin Radio, bringing you informative educational stories from the inside out.
In order to make something grow, you got to own a little dirt.
You don't tell, you see what goes on.
Because I like to be free. I like to move about the land.
You could hear a pin drop, and all of a sudden, you heard this.
A lockdown in prison happens when correctional officers decide there's a threat to safety and security. Something like a fight, an assault, or a race riot. A lockdown is exactly what it sounds like. Inmates have to stay in their cells until the problem is contained. They can't go anywhere unless they're strip searched, handcuffed, and escorted by correctional officers. During the lockdown, inmates spend 24 hours a day with another man in the space the size of a bathroom. Lockdowns can last months. So what becomes of a man's daily routine? How does he overcome boredom? And if he knows it might be coming, how does he prepare for it? Because San Quentin radio reporters are only allowed to record in one part of the prison, they've recreated some of the prison sounds in their media lab. In this story from our archives, San Quentin Radio's Adnan Khan has more.
A prison yard has a very unpredictable environment. Violence and lockdowns can happen at any time.
Well, my name is John Johnson. I also go by Yahya. I've been down 20 years. I've been in more lockdowns than I can remember. The longest lockdown I've been in is 10 months in Corcoran State Prison.
My name is Trevor Bird. I've been locked up 16 years, endured many lockdowns, and the longest was 8 months up at High Desert.
Here's how it starts. The first few hours of the day are spent gathering information.
There's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of uncertainty and nervousness.
You're not sure what's going on. Yahya remembers how he heard something bad had happened.
Eventually, my cellie came in, and he had this look of bewilderment on his face. I said, man, what happened out there? He said, man, it was bad. It was a race riot. And I looked at his face, man, I seen the terror in his eyes, and I was like, wow.
That race riot was the start of a 10-month lockdown. At the beginning, you don't know how long it's gonna last. During lockdowns, there's absolutely no movement unless you're handcuffed and escorted by officers. Inmates find ways to communicate with each other by doing things like yelling on the tiers, talking through the ventilation system, or even taking advantage of the escort.
Sometimes your only chance to communicate with somebody else is, you know, maybe on a quick little 15-second walk to the shower.
Adapting is key for any form of survival, as is preparation. Just like Bay Area residents who prepare earthquake kits, many inmates prepare by having a lockdown box, or what Bird likes to call it, a war chest.
The war chest are the basic necessities. We're not filling it with, you know, candy bars and, you know, smell good body wash. No, these are the things that you're gonna need to fight off hunger and to fight off your own funk in the cell.
My particular lockdown box would consist of food and hygiene. It was mandatory to have 5 deodorants, 5 lotions, 5 toothpastes, things like that, coffee. It's a must to have 240 soups in your cell at any given time.
An earthquake kit is stocked, stored, and put away for unexpected emergencies. Lockdown box is no different.
A lockdown box is never really generally touched. You know, it's something that you know that you're gonna have to rely on at some point in a long lockdown, so it's a box that's taken, placed under the bed, and it's out of sight.
Eventually, the lockdown box diminishes and they run out of supplies. The 3 meals a day the state provides is not nearly enough for an adult, and the hunger becomes unbearable.
You know, hollowness in your gut. I mean, that your belly just grinding on your backbone, and the hunger pains, you know, look to that sack lunch and a graham cracker, you know, just might be enough to let you fall asleep that night.
The same meal is repeated over and over, so the men have to use their imaginations.
Sometimes that loaf of bread could turn into, you know, mama's lasagna, mom's fried chicken.
You know, so when we ate these peanut butter sandwiches, it was always considered a steak, you know, with A1 steak sauce being the jelly. You know, our imaginations run wild again because you're confined to this cell and you're coping.
I mean, your mind wanders and your mind, you know, tries to fill in the gaps of what could be and what should be, but what really isn't.
You know, and you find yourself being creative and imaginative to make the food more palatable when you eat it.
mix up that Kool-Aid and sip it slowly like it's, you know, your favorite soft drink or something, or a smoothie.
Within a few weeks, men established routines for themselves and with their cellies.
So a lot of the time is, you know, spent dividing up the time on the floor. So you're either on your rack or you're on the floor. And there's not enough room for both of you to be on the floor at the same time. So we divide it evenly and tippy-toe around each other like that.
Still, being barricaded with another man for 24 hours a day for several months and basically a room the size of a bathroom can be extremely challenging.
Being on a lockdown with an individual that you're not compatible with is hell. You know, it works your nerves. You have to have good coping mechanisms in order not to go crazy in one of these small prison cells.
During lockdowns, men can only shower every 2 days, so they find methods of cleaning themselves inside their cells daily, which is known as a bird bath.
Splash down, suds up, you know, with your little sink and your little trickle of water that comes out. Usually we got some ladle of some type. Usually it's your mug. You're using your sink and your toilet to corral all the water. And a few floor towels to, you know, sop up the excess.
Since visits and phone calls are restricted, the only form of communicating with family members is through letters.
You know, I write my family. I have a son, I have a granddaughter, my mother. They're active, you know, participants in, you know, doing this prison time with me.
And my letter going out can reach my family within a couple days. It takes about 15 to 20 days sometimes for one of their letters to reach me.
But Bird and his dad found creative ways to make their letters during the lockdown a bit more interesting.
We'd start up a game of chess, and it was not out of the norm to, you know, just send off a letter with nothing but a simple chess move in it. P.S. Pop, Queen's Bishop to E5, check. Talk about a slow game of chess. There's no time on the clock there because I'm waiting 15 to 20 days for his responding move.
So how were those chess games?
A slow, well thought out game of chess was great. And I mean, my dad and I, you know, certainly enjoyed those.
But lockdowns are very psychologically challenging.
Just being stuck in that cell without movement day after day after day, I struggled to, you know, stay sociable.
Having been locked down, confined to a cell with minimal movement, the maintenance of my sanity, not being able to go to the canteen, not being able to get a package, not being able to visit your people.
And I would. I'd spend, you know, 3-4 days in my own head. But that would be 3-4 days that I didn't write a letter. Didn't even say a word to my cellie. 3-4 days just spent in a depression.
Yahya and Bird did utilize their lockdown time productively. Yahya learned to speak Arabic, and Bird earned his AA degree taking correspondence courses through the mail. But neither of them would ever want to do another lockdown again.
No way. They're just too much wear and tear on the soul.
Absolutely not. Because I like to be free. I like to move about the land and learn things without being confined in a box.
That's Adnan Khan reporting out of the San Quentin Media Lab. That story originally aired in 2015, and 4 years later, after braving San Francisco traffic, Adnan is here with me in studio. Welcome, Adnan.
Thank you, man. Thanks for having me.
So it is just great to see you here, and listening to that story back from when you were inside San Quentin, how does that make you feel? What are you thinking about?
Honestly, I think the biggest thing that stands out for me is a little bit of survivor's guilt. And what I mean by that is, like, both of those guys, Yahya and Bird, Trevor, they're both like my friends.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I still remember Bird, his birthday is on the same birthday as my sister, May 18th. So his birthday's coming up. So it's bittersweet because they're both still incarcerated and I know they've done way past their time. But artistically, I mean, it was a story that I would think we wanted to share about how lockdowns are and what it's like inside of a cell with sensory deprivation, deprived of your family, your loved ones. And sitting there, can't shower. So that type of that story just actually took me back to those days.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, now, I mean, you are working on behalf of people like Bird and Yahya with the program Restore Justice that you're co-director for. And that's something that you were working on when you were incarcerated, right? As far as different programs such as First Watch and things like that. But now on the outside, on behalf of people who are still on the inside. Tell me a little bit about that work that you're doing as co-director.
Yeah, I was very fortunate and blessed to have co-founded Restore Justice while I was in the media center where I was kind of like working and housed. And that's a nonprofit where we work with survivors of crime with formerly and currently incarcerated people. And it's more to bring restorative practices into our communities rather than the punitive prison system. And so the work is continuing out here. And what we do, we push legislation with survivors, with formerly incarcerated people and members of the community. One such like the one that got me out a few months ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you actually got out because of a Senate bill that passed that changed the punishment for different kinds of crimes.
Yeah, it was called the felony murder bill, a felony murder rule. And so people who were the non-killer in a crime were sentenced to life in prison. And so, yeah, that was part of the bill that Restore Justice and the team, Alex Malik, Sarah Sindage, the team helped push. And lo and behold, I'm sitting before you, one of the first person released on that bill. There's many more to come. But yeah, that was a huge blessing.
That's great. Well, yeah. And it's really amazing, I got to say, for me to see you out here because...
I know we started way back when, man, you and I.
That's true.
KLW, you said 2015 this story came out?
This one was 2015, right.
I mean, wow, like afraid to touch a computer and didn't know what I was doing. And here, you know, the KLW team was just coming in San Quentin and teaching us like, here, tell you, this is how you tell, not our stories, but the technical part, but gave us the freedom kind of like tell our own stories, you know, and that was just amazing, man.
Oh, really, I'm so glad.
Yeah, really appreciate you from, 4 or 5 years ago.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I'm glad the relationship continues too.
Yeah.
On. Yeah. I mean, it's, I've got to say that while we bring some technical skills in there for sure, and you know, it's part of our mission here at KALW to really bring all voices up and empower people, I think that there's a great deal. I was just talking with Marissa, who works in the training mm-hmm. programs in there, about how she said that she laughs more when she goes into San Quentin mm-hmm. State Prison than any other time during the week because she just feels a sense of humanity in mm-hmm. there. And I have really found in the years that I've been going in there that people connect in deeper ways often, and it's extraordinarily powerful. I mean, there's definitely, with any kind of education, I think that there's a give and take between teachers and students,
mm-hmm.
and it is a very mutual learning experience. And so I'm grateful for it as well.
I want to echo the same thing you just said. I mean, when you guys were all in there and we would just sit in that little room, very, very small room, as packed, as crowded, and then don't even, what about when it's hot and you have to record and you can't turn the fans on?
That's right.
Right, so like, you build more than just the proximity. I mean, you're literally very close to each other, but emotionally and just understanding each other, like you said, Marissa, she's laughing, mm-hmm. we're laughing, and a lot of people, society don't think that incarcerated people are funny, that they have wit, like intelligence behind their humor.
Yeah.
But it is, and platforms like KLW and what you guys are providing allows us to tell our stories and get our personalities out there. Out here, actually, I'm out here now. I said
That's
out
right.
there. I'm so used to saying out
well,
there.
Well, man, yeah.
But out here, and just super appreciate what you guys do for us, and now the Solano program, which I have friends there,
mm-hmm.
actually part of the KLW program, and it's great, man.
Well, I really appreciate it. No, and thank you so much for coming in here and supporting us. We are in our spring membership drive right now. We are dedicating this show to the work that we do in both San Quentin State Prison and Solano State Prison. And we're joined by Adnan Khan, co-director of Restore Justice, which is looking to reform different kinds of work within the criminal justice system to improve the lives of people who are incarcerated and also improve the lives of everybody who are in society. You can support this work at 800-525-9917. This is a challenge period here at KALW. You can help with Dan and Claire Carlevaro, who have put up $1,000 hoping to inspire you to get 15 calls or clicks by the end of the hour. And Dan and Claire have put up their money, hoping that you will put some up as well. Support all the work that we do here at KALW with Uncuffed from Solano State Prison and San Quentin Radio. Adnan Khan, who was one of the original members of San Quentin Prison Report, who did that story we just heard, is here with us. He braved traffic. It's one of the downsides of being on the outside, I guess.
I don't mind it. I'd rather be in traffic out here than be, you know, running around inside prison.
I hear that. That's true. You can support us at 800-525-9917 or online at kalw.org. And Adnan, we have a couple more seconds before we're going to go to the Daily from the New York Times. Do you have any other thoughts you want to share?
No, I just appreciate everybody here and the people that are listening. There are very, very interesting hidden stories that are inside prisons. And just listen, just hear them out. And so I definitely want to echo the support of this program and the stories that are coming from inside.
Thank you so much. Phone number to call is 800-525-9917 or online at kalw.org. Not only are you supporting the training programs that we do all around the Bay Area, you are also helping to fulfill a challenge right now. Within this hour, call 800-525-9917 or go online to kalw.org. Adnan Khan, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Ben.